Thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for your great love that moved you to do what you did for us as we celebrate your coming into Jerusalem. We know what you came there for, and why it is that you wept before you, shortly before you entered the city. But we're thankful. We're thankful for your sacrifice and for what you did so that we can be here today, so that we can have a relationship with you, so we can look at the words that you gave us and try to understand the kind of love that would lead somebody to do that. Open our hearts as we look into your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God's word is alive.
Amen.
I get amazed. It shouldn't. I mean, we say the word is alive. Now, we say that because Jesus, of course, is called the Word in John chapter 1. And he's the incarnation of God. We talk about it in that sense. But also, it's also a reference to the power of his written word. Because even though it's finite in its context, in other words, it's complete. We have all that we're going to have. We have what we believe to be the inspired word of God passed down to us through the centuries, and it's our belief that that's all we need.
Right.
But it's infinite in that because it comes from the source, because of the source that it comes from, because it comes from the Holy Spirit, and because the Holy Spirit lives in us, we can read that same finite set of material over and over again, and every time we read it, we can see something new. And that's just amazing to me. No matter how many times, always something new to learn. Always something new comes up. Because the Holy Spirit inspired it, and because the Holy Spirit lives in you. And so, a few years ago, I was reading one of my favorite passages, and of course it was about love. But we speak probably on love more than a lot of other topics, especially me. I'm always going back there. And we do our best to practice it. And I'm so thrilled and happy to be a part of something. Where we do that, it's evident in the way that we care for each other. And even though sometimes we get mad and fuss, we're there for each other. We love each other.
True.
And I've studied it all my adult life. Still don't really know how to do it, but I'm trying. But I'm still learning new things. But he said in John chapter 13, which we're going to read here in a few minutes. He said, "A new commandment I give to you." And he told us to love each other. That was his commandment. And that's not new, really. Until you add the second part of that verse, "As I have loved you." And we are about to celebrate Resurrection Sunday, where we celebrate his rising from the dead. But of course, before he rose from the dead, he had to be crucified. And he loved us with his life.
Amen.
And he said, that's how we're going to be known. That's how we're supposed to be known as his disciples, because we love each other like he loved us. Mm-hmm. Are we really, do we love each other that much? I hope we don't get tested on that, that we're willing to die for each other. But certainly, we are called to die for Him.
Amen.
To give up our lives, to die to ourselves, to die to our flesh, and many times around the world to literally die. So, as we open up to the Scriptures, I want to provide a little context. We are on Palm Sunday here. And it occurred to me after choosing this, well, you know, it's Palm Sunday. Shouldn't you have gone that way? I'm like, well, actually, this is in that time period. It's actually a little bit after that time period. Jesus is saying these things during the Passover celebration. It's just hours before He, in fact, is going to be tried, and He's going to be crucified. The last Passover that He's celebrating with the disciples, Judas has already left to betray Him. And He has just washed the disciples' feet. And He's sharing now some of the final words that they will hear before all this begins to happen.
Amen.
And He says in John chapter 13, starting in verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another."
Amen.
Now, what makes this commandment new? We already talked about it a little bit. After all, the law has already said, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus spoke about that. Somebody asked Him what was the greatest commandment. He said, that's it. He said, all the law and the prophets hang off of that. Paul reiterates that, or Jesus rather reiterates that in verse, or says that in verse 40, and then we know that that's still relevant. It didn't change after He was resurrected, because Paul says it's essentially the same thing in Romans chapter 13, and then again in Galatians chapter 5. But Jesus actually said something more. He said, love others more than you love yourself. Mm. And He was the example. And we're called to love the same way that He loved. With compassion. Yes, with service. With truth. Speaking the truth when it's necessary. And with His life. And He said that is what defines us to the world. That is how they'll know that we really belong to Him. When we're loving with that kind of love.
Amen.
I want to take you to another passage, and I usually don't do this late, but I've also put it on the screen. I want to take you to John chapter 15. Where He basically says the same thing, provides a little bit more with it. I'm going to start in chapter 15, verse 12. And He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another."
Amen.
Now, what do we see here? We see repetition. Three times, and if you look at John 13 through 15, which is that whole up through 17 is just one of my favorite passages of Scripture anywhere, because Jesus is speaking and it says so much that can instruct our lives. He's saying this right before his time on earth is about to be concluded. But He says three times Between the within those three chapters, this is my commandment, love one another. Now, when something is repeated, what do we know about that? We learn about that, right? It shows that it's important. It's something he really wants to drive home.
Yes.
And then he also repeats at least four times, I lost count as I was going through, keep my commandments.
Right.
Now, the only thing he has mentioned specifically as a commandment in these chapters is what? Love one another as I have loved you.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to say. Admittedly, it's hard to do.
Right.
Because he's talking about laying down our lives. It's the greatest kind of love that one can have. And it's the love that he showed to us. He called us friends. He's the one who chose us.
Amen.
And we do the same. We choose him. And this is the commandment. What does love do? Love shares. When somebody is a slave, they do what they're told. But when somebody's your friend, you work together with them. You're working toward a common purpose. You're not just taking orders. That sort of speaks to the fact that what we're dealing with here is a relationship. Yes, we're supposed to obey. He is our Lord and Master. But he wants to be more than that. He wants a relationship with us. What he wants is for us to be having the same will as he does and working with him toward his goals. And that's what he offers us. And if you think about that for a minute, it just can be overwhelming. The God of the universe wants you to be his friend. Mm. He's called you his friend, and he wants to work with you to accomplish his purposes.
Amen.
Oh man, that's awesome.
It is awesome.
So seek love, and he will speak. Love chooses. He chose us.
Yeah.
He teaches us. And yes, sometimes he rebukes us. He says in Revelation chapter 3, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. He disciplines us. He disciples us. And what is the purpose? So that we will produce fruit. What is the fruit? We can look at Galatians 5 for that. But ultimately, the fruit is more people in his family. Love gives. And he desires to give you. He desires to give to you. He loves you just like you desire to give to your kids. He loves you with that kind of love. Luke says in 13:32 that your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. But it is in the context, this is where we get off, it's in the context of his will. Doesn't mean you can just ask for anything you want, you're automatically going to get it.
Right.
He loves you enough, he loves you enough to say no, too.
Yes.
But then he repeats the commandment again, driving home that point. Love one another. That's what it's all about. God always knows best.
Amen.
So, how do we then apply this? Okay, we know it's true. What does it look like in our day-to-day lives? Well, that's a bigger question than we could probably answer in several hours, but I promise you I'm not going to try to do that. But just some high points. Love like you mean it. Love should be sincere. Romans 12, verses 9 and 10. I know we've read it before. I'm going to read it out of the Common English Bible, though, because I like the way it puts it. He says, love should be shown without pretending. Hate evil and hold to what is good. Love each other like the members of your family. Maybe a little better than that.
Right.
Be the best at showing honor to each other. You want to compete at something? Compete at that.
Right.
Sometimes we don't treat our family as well as we ought to. And that's not good. Our job is to love each other. Build each other up. Romans 15, verses 1 and 2, this time out of the ESV, he says, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. The context, that verse comes right after Romans 14, which has been talking about the way that we conduct ourselves as far as food and drink and seasons and so forth, saying don't trip your brother up, don't trip your sister up,
right.
Just because it's okay for you, if their conscience is weak in that area, you're not operating in love if you do things that cause them to stumble.
Right.
Strength is okay to be acknowledged, but use that strength to build people up. Which is why we ought to use criticism sparingly. For one thing, it usually doesn't work. Unless people are really in a place that they're ready to hear, and you have to be somewhat guided by the Holy Spirit to know when that is, it usually doesn't accomplish anything. There are times for it, and there are times when we have to, as the Word says, speak the truth in love, but make sure it's really in love, and not just an opportunity to have your say. Build each other up. And the first thing you want to do is look in the mirror. I'm not going to read it because we've read it several times in the past few weeks, but remember what we studied just a couple of weeks ago in Galatians chapter 6, where it basically says, if somebody's struggling, if somebody's stumbling, lift them up, help them out, bear each other's burdens, it says.
Right.
But watch out, lest you end up falling into the same kind of temptation.
Right.
Because what will happen, what can happen is that we become our focus. Mm-hmm. And pride goes before fall.
Yes, it does.
The law of Christ, as he says there, is to keep that new commandment. And don't destroy each other. James chapter 5:9 says, do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Whenever we're dealing with each other, when we do have to bring something, we know the story. You bring it. You deal with the person individually. You only bring other people in if that doesn't work.
Right.
And that purpose is always redemptive. Purpose is always, we want to bring them back.
Right.
He's not here preventing or speaking against righteous judgment. Discipline is necessary. But we suffer when we don't have any. You wouldn't tear, when you tear down your own family, it hurts you. Because we're all supposed to be down together, holding each other up.
Right.
And what it will lead to is trouble. And your own judgment. So let's not go there. The new commandment that Jesus gave us calls us beyond loving our neighbor as ourselves calls us instead to love others more than ourselves.
Amen.
Jesus set that example for us. And this is how we're called to love each other. Okay, what does that look like in real, let's get real concrete. What might that look like today in the midst of this current situation that we're in? Okay, I'm gonna give you a visual example. And for those who can't see, I just put my mask back on. Now, we can argue about whether the mask is of any use or not, whether we need it. After all, just about everybody's either had it or been vaccinated. But we do have, in our midst, folks that getting sick with anything, much less COVID, just getting sick with anything could be a very serious situation.
Right.
Now, obviously, we're not going to wear masks from now until the end of eternity. But we're going to wear them right now. Why? Because we love others more than we love ourselves.
Amen.
So we love Ruth, we love Kathy, and we're going to continue to do things in a way that makes sure that everybody is well.
Amen.
Amen.
After all, it's certainly not going to kill us. It was certainly not given our lives. Just a little piece, something we'd rather not lose. And you know, that's another thing that we need to think about, is that when we see somebody being, maybe we think they're being unreasonable with their demands. Mm-hmm. But what we need to do, especially in the church, is we need to be thinking about what is the motivation? Maybe there's a good, we need to be assuming the best motivation. And if somebody's trying to look out for people and protect people, that's a pretty good motivation.
It's really good.
So let's give each other the benefit of the doubt. Love each other with that sacrificial love. And I do see a lot of that here. This is not a beat up on anybody kind of message. Just a reminder that this is what we're here for.
Amen.
This is what we're called to. And I'm very proud of being a church that practices.
Amen.
So thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you give us. Thank you for the time that we share together. Thank you that you made all of this possible. Thank you for your wonderful word, your wonderful sacrifice for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.